This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin-Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7:06 in the morning on Tuesday, the 25th of June, and here's how markets did overnight. US stocks backed off from record highs as investors continued to weigh the expectations for easier monetary policy against concerns that the global economy is slowing down.
So the Dow Jones closed marginally in the green, and so did the S&P 500, as well as the Nasdaq, which fell. Let's take a look at the other stocks in the US. Slack, which was recently IPO'd, closed 4% down last night.
Well, the stock is down almost 10% since its opening price of $39.70 last week. But mainly US stocks ended lower due to geopolitical tensions in the Middle East as it weighs down on the oil sector. Progress of trade talks between China and US remains uncertain as we get closer to the G20 summit in Osaka this week, while central banks have remained cautious and have been loosening monetary policy.
So for more, we speak to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Thank you for joining us, Joe. So the amount of negative yielding debt hit a record $12.5 trillion. It was half of that a year ago. What is the impact of negative interest rates on your portfolio allocation?
Well, you got to be very careful where you allocate on a regional or global basis. So we're putting more money to work here in the United States, whether it's fixed income or equities. Avoiding Europe, but we like the large cap European companies that might do better with reflationary global efforts by the central bank. But the whole point, it's a good question in the sense that when you've got so much debt out there, negative interest rate, it's deflationary. And that's what central banks are trying to avoid. They're trying to increase inflation, not deflation. The push and pull, something investors got to watch very carefully.
And Joe, when they do achieve that policy of pushing up inflation, do you think that fixed income investors like pensioners will experience a double whammy? Because right now they're getting low yields and they might actually get capital losses if inflation goes up.
I mean, they will when it happens. But when it happens, that could be a long ways from now. Because when you look at Europe, when you look at China, growth is slowing in the United States, not much help from Japan. I think right now, shorter durations with a fixed income, there's no fears of inflation rearing its ugly head anytime soon globally. And that's a huge issue. And that's whether it's retirement, whether it's less productivity, demographics. I mean, to me, I wouldn't be worried about global inflation here just yet, certainly not this year, even the 2020.
And Bitcoin is at $11,000, while gold is around $1,400, and they've both reached recent highs. Does this say anything about investor sentiment on hard currency?
Well, I think it speaks to looking for yield, or maybe I think there's a sense among investors that central banks have their back. In other words, we're cutting rates, we're in the easing cycle, more risk on. So a lot more investors, more traders, I should say, are going out on the risk curve and looking at Bitcoin. And gold to me, it should be part of your portfolio in terms of precious metals. But to me, the biggest, for what you should take away is invest in good quality companies, U.S. equities, large cap European companies, the South Korean companies, Malaysian semiconductors. I mean, that's where I think the good returns are at good valuations right now.
Thank you so much, Joe. And that was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust BOA Private Wealth Management. Now taking a look as well at some of the international headlines this morning. Brent crude closed down 0.5% to $64.86 a barrel as traders downgraded the chances of an immediate confrontation in the Strait of Hormuz. West Texas crude, however, added almost 1% to just under $58 a barrel.
And we know that President Donald Trump has signed an executive order imposing new sanctions on Iranian officials, including Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, as part of Trump's maximum pressure campaign against Tehran.
Meanwhile, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has also hinted that Iran's Foreign Minister Javad Zarif may be added to the sanctions list later this week. Zarif has hit out on Iran hawks he calls the B team, including U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton, Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and UAE Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed, saying they are thirsty for war.
So this was an interesting move by Steven Mnuchin, right? Because this is kind of against typical U.S. convention about not giving giving any ground when it comes to finding out who is going to be on the sanctions list, because they wanted to avoid perhaps people taking effective steps to avoid these measures. And so there's no confirmation just yet on whether or not Zarif will be added to the sanctions list. And if he is, it could pose quite a problem, because he's Iran's top diplomat and he flies all over the world. So that could pose a problem for Iran's diplomatic policy going forward. Now, aside from that, Nissan Motor Co. shareholders will also vote in a new board and director committees today. And this is a move that may reshape the company's troubled relationship with Renault, as well as dictate whether it revives its deal with Fiat Chrysler.
So Nissan's new governance structure is designed to boost oversight and prevent concentration of power in one person. We've heard that before, right? I mean, this is a theme that is playing around, playing the world over. I mean, we saw Turkey's ruling party losing in Istanbul. And we don't want that kind of concentration, whether it's in government or in corporations. So as far as the case goes in Nissan, which was what led to the eventual arrest of former chairman Carlos Ghosn for financial crimes.
Yes, since Ghosn's arrest in November last year, Nissan has seen some very difficult times. The company reported its lowest profit in a decade last month. They've lost a quarter of their market value. And ties with longtime allies have been strained after Nissan kept the investigation into Ghosn from Renault until his arrest, as well as Nissan's latest reluctance to support a merger between Renault and Fiat.
Now, ahead of the board meeting later today, there are a couple of things expected. So the central task is to approve the creation of three new board committees. There may be some new faces on the board, with nominees including a former head of Sony Interactive Entertainment and the chairman of Nihon Michelin Tire Co., as well as the Nissan CEO Hiroto Saikawa, who was Ghosn's protege and later accuser. He may be in the hot seat on questions about why he didn't spot Ghosn's alleged wrongdoings earlier. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.